Hey man, thank you, Caleb. Well, it's great to be with everybody here tonight. It's good to see some of your faces and names and have this time together. I know we meet on Zoom every other Wednesday now, and so hopefully you've been enjoying when we break up into like our local boroughs and have those in-person times together. But it's also great to still kind of get this time together to dig into a topic or a passage and study something out together. But definitely praying for you all and hope that you're having good weeks. It's crazy that the spring semester is halfway over and March is halfway over. And I hope that you're making the most of it. And I'm excited for the retreat and all else that we have coming up soon. And so, like Caleb said, tonight we're going to be talking about hospitality, the heart of hospitality. And you can turn over to Acts chapter 21. I don't have slides. I don't have the scriptures on the screen. So you could look on your app or look in your Bible along. We'll be reading verse 1 to 19, which is a bigger chunk. So if you could read along, I think that would be helpful. And I'm really excited to have both Nina and Rachel taking part in this lesson tonight, too, as two disciples, two faithful women who I think set a high bar and a great example of having a heart of hospitality that Jesus calls all of us to have. And so I do think talking about hospitality, we really are talking about something we don't talk about much. I don't think that word is used a lot, but it is an important aspect of being God's people, right? If you look at the Bible, just from the beginning, that was a hallmark of godly people, was people who practiced hospitality. And so that's something that we need to decide we're going to take to heart. Hey, we're going to build a hospitable ministry. I'm going to be a hospitable person and then build that into the culture and build that into the DNA of our church, of our ministry that we're building. Hospitality, that's what we do and that's who we are. And so it does need to start from the heart, a heart of hospitality. And I do think that practicing hospitality in a biblical way is a big part of what makes us family. I think that's one of the places that people experience or should experience hospitality the most is with their family. But in the church should be a place where we are family and we're practicing hospitality with each other and with the people that we're reaching out to. I think hospitality is one of the biggest ways that we get to be a light to the world, especially living in the New York metropolitan area. Most people are not really spending time in each other's homes or experiencing something that they would say, wow, they were so hospitable. Most of the time it's public places. You know, you're renting a place for a party, you're buying food out. The idea of practicing hospitality and being hospitable is a way that we get to be a light. And it's a big way of how we are a loving community and a Christ-like community. And so I'm going to read Acts 21, verse 1 to 19, and I just want you to pay attention and see what stands out to you about how much the heart of hospitality was practiced in the early church. Now, we are jumping ahead. Sunday, we're going to be covering the rest of Acts chapter 20, which is an amazing chunk of scripture on Paul's farewell to the elders and the church in Ephesus, where he had helped start the church. And, you know, between what we last covered and now, Paul and his company have continued to travel, to plant churches. I don't know if you remember last Sunday, I read the beginning of Acts 20 as they traveled all over, speaking many words of encouragement to the people, strengthening, going in these partnerships that we talked about. And then Paul has this collection of money that they collected for the poor, for the disciples, for the church in Jerusalem. And so Paul feels called by God for him to personally deliver that contribution, amongst seemingly some other reasons he felt like he had to go be there. And everybody he talked to thought it was a bad idea. If you can imagine, okay, Paul, you basically, you know, jump ship on Judaism. Not really, but that was how he's perceived. And Jerusalem was where Jesus was arrested and killed. And now Paul, as kind of one of the predominant church builders, He's headed to Jerusalem. And so understandably, a lot of people were like, bro, not a good idea. You should probably not go back there, or whatever. But he felt called by God to go there. And so he had a pretty long journey traveling back to Jerusalem. And we get to kind of see a little bit of what that journey was like. And in it, we do get a window into the heart of hospitality that the early church had in their culture and experience. So let's read Acts 21, verse 1 to 19. It says, after we had torn ourselves away from them, talking about their time spent with the Ephesian leaders and saying bye as they left towards Jerusalem, it says, we put out to sea and sailed straight to Kos. The next day, we went to Rhodes and from there to Patara. We found a ship crossing over to Phoenicia, went on board and set sail. After sighting Cyprus and passing to the south of it, we sailed on to Syria. We landed at Tyre, where our ship was to unload its cargo. Finding the disciples there, we stayed with them 7 days. Through the Spirit, they urged Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. But when our time was up, we left and continued on our way. All the disciples and their wives and children accompanied us out of the city. And there on the beach, we knelt to pray. After saying goodbye to each other, we went aboard the ship and they returned home. We continued our voyage from Tyre and landed at Ptolemais, where we greeted the brothers and stayed with them for a day. Leaving the next day, we reached Caesarea and stayed at the house of Philip, the evangelist, one of the seven. He had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. After we had been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, the Holy Spirit says, in this way, the Jews of Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles. When we heard this, we and the people there pleaded with Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, we're not preaching on this tonight, but what an inspiring sentence right there. Just Paul's conviction of, hey, I am ready not only to be bound or arrested, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Talk about courage and conviction. Verse 14, when he would not be dissuaded, we gave up and said, the Lord's will be done. After this, we got ready and went up to Jerusalem. Some of the disciples from Caesarea accompanied us and brought us to the home of Mason, where we were to stay. He was a man from Cyprus and one of the early disciples. When we arrived at Jerusalem, the brothers received us warmly. The next day, Paul and the rest of us went to see James, and all the elders were present. Paul greeted them and reported in detail what God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. When they heard this, they praised God. And then they continue to talk there and stuff. But, you know, this was a long experience of travel that they had going on here. And I don't know if you picked up on it, but it should stand out to you how many times it referenced Paul and the group he was with staying with other disciples. Sometimes for a week, sometimes for multiple days, sometimes for one day. It says they received him warmly. It says some of the brothers from Centuria went with him and escorted him the rest of the way to Jerusalem and said, hey, well, if you're going to go, then we'll go with you and help make sure you get there safely or whatever. There was so much hospitality that Paul received, places to stay. And obviously, you stay somewhere. It's not just somewhere to sleep. I'm sure there's food involved. There's bathing. There's, you know, taking care of somebody in your house for a week is a lot of work. And Paul might have never even met these people before, but they were disciples. So they were family. And Paul experienced hospitality. Everywhere they went, they were welcomed into homes of disciples. And I'll point this out too, that although Paul and them were being hospitalized to, they also were being hospitable to the other people, right? We know from earlier in Acts 20 that everywhere they traveled, they spoke many words of encouragement. Paul's whole trip to Jerusalem was large part motivated by his desire to bring this contribution to support the disciples who needed financial help in Jerusalem. Like, Paul was receiving hospitality and he was giving hospitality through encouragement and through serving and his gifts everywhere he went. And I just want us all to be clear that hospitality, being hospitable, in essence, means being somebody who provides a space or gives off the spirit of being caring. A place where it's like, hey, you are cared about here. We will care for you here. We will take care of you here. A place of friendliness, right? Of being friends, of being family. Hospitality is about serving. It is about warmth. It is about receiving warmly. It's about being giving and taking care of others. That's the spirit. That's the heart. That's the nature of hospitality. And there's two main aspects of hospitality that we want to talk about tonight. And one is a hospitable place. That part of our role as Christians is to create hospitable places, the physical place, the environment, the place to stay. But the second aspect is being a hospitable person. That we don't want to just be like innkeepers who are like, hey, here's a nice bed and a warm room, but then we're cold, we're distant, we're off-putting. No, we also want to be like Paul and the other disciples who had said everywhere they went, they spread words of encouragement. We want to create hospitable places, but also we want to be hospitable people in how we treat, talk to, and interact with people. And so my vision for my life, and I think God's vision for all of us, is that we should all be known for creating, being, and experiencing hospitality. In Romans chapter 16, verse 23, I know I read the beginning of Romans 16 in my lesson last week, and Paul is lifting up all these different people. I didn't read Romans 16, 23. I didn't get that far. But in this verse, he says about this one disciple, he says, Gaius, whose hospitality I and the whole church here enjoy, sends you greetings, right? Even when Paul was in Rome, there was disciples who he enjoyed the hospitality of, and not just him, but he said the whole church. And really, that's how the church should be. The church should be a place where we are family. We experience hospitality with each other, the places we're welcomed into, being in each other's homes. The way that we treat each other is a place of hospitality. And honestly, I have loved that about the church. It is so different than the world. And, you know, my 13 years being a Christian, I would say in the first year or two, this was one of the easiest, most stark contrasts to the world that I experienced as a young Christian, was as I traveled places, disciples who I'd never met before, letting me spend the night at their place and not being cold or strangerous, but being warm, being giving, asking me questions, engaging me, treating me with care and having, you know, a great setup for me to stay in or whatever. And just even the way I would walk into church and people would engage me, talk to me, draw me out, have good conversation, ask how I'm doing. Even if it wasn't in their home, they were being hospitable people. Even when I traveled to Africa, Chelsea and I stayed for like 10 days with the family in Africa, and they were so hospitable. And we're from different continents and never met each other before, but we were family and we treated each other with hospitality. You know, I wrote this lesson today sitting in the living room of an incredibly hospitable family. And that's Caesar and Belkis Coronado, Manny's parents. I was down by NYU, study canceled. I had to write my midweek lesson. And his dad, I saw him on the sidewalk and he was like, come on in if you need to, stay as long as you need to. You know, they have such a spirit of hospitality. And it's like, who's like that? But that's how Christians need to be, because Jesus was like that. And we need to be people who are hospitable with each other. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 to 10 says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And so the heart of hospitality is simply loving people. That's what it said here, right? Above all, love each other deeply. And then it goes on to say, offer hospitality. The heart of hospitality is loving people. And it's using whatever gifts or whatever opportunities God has given us to use those faithfully in serving others. And so with the rest of this lesson, I just want to kind of talk practically a little bit more so, and then have these two awesome sisters share a little bit about their heart and their life in this area. But I'd want you to think about, how do you do creating a hospitable place? And that's the first aspect of this, is you can't talk about hospitality without considering the physical element of it. And the heart of a hospitable place is that we want to take care of people, right? We want a place where we get to show God's character and where we get to show Jesus to other people. And if you think about it, God himself is like the author of hospitality. He made a world. He made a planet. He made Earth, and he put everything in it here, and then he welcomed us onto it. He put us here to take care of us here. Like, this is his world. Everything on it is his, and he's being hospitable to us with it. And it's not perfect because we broke it, but now he's got a room in heaven that he's mapping out for you in his home in heaven, where God is preparing to be hospitable to you and me for all eternity. In this amazing place of his, like, God is a hospitable God. That's his heart. He brings people in. He makes people family. He makes people feel at home. And if that's our God, then that's what we should be like as well. And so how can we practice building a hospitable place? Well, one way is just simply by having people over, right? Do you ever have people over your house? Do you welcome people into your home? Other disciples, people you're reaching out to, friends from school, right? Do you have people into your home? And when you do, try to serve them, right? Can I get you something? Have food, right? Food is always a big part of hospitality. Maybe with these community group split nights, you're like, hey, can I host one at my place, right? And other people should chip in and help, but that you have the heart of like, hey, let me try to host people at my house, whether it's my borough, my community group, whether it's the study, like, hey, can we do the next study at my place? And, you know, whatever it is, a friend from school, like, hey, would you want to come over and have dinner with my family one night, right? Or whatever, bringing people into your home, trying to create a hospitable place. And you could do that. And I do think as you get older and become adult singles and marrieds in the church with families, I really want to urge you that you decide you're going to have a hospitable home. Your home is going to be the home that hosts families over for dinner. Your home is going to be the one that has campus students over, that lets people crash that are in town from out of town, that has people over for dinner, right? That you are going to have a hospitable home. But I also want to touch for a moment here on the other half of this, which is, even if your home is not the place, you can still help make a place hospitable and be hospitable there. And what I mean by that is, when you're the guest at someone else's house, yes, they're the one being practicing hospitality, but you can still be a hospitable guest, where you don't just show up at a meeting of the body or at someone else's home for dinner or someone else's home for an event. And you're like, well, I'm here to just be served tonight. Right. And maybe you're not actively thinking that, but that might be how you act. It's like, oh, they're hosting me. I get to just enjoy. And there's a time for that. Right. But ultimately, we should have the mindset of, hey, even if I'm a guest here, I'm going to try to be hospitable. Can I help set up something? Is there something somebody needs help with? Right. Or the person hosting, helping them with things. And probably the biggest thing is helping clean up. Right? That you don't just come, enjoy, and leave, but you go, hey, I came, I enjoyed, now let me help the person who had me over and enjoy this, enjoy the rest of their night by not spending the next 2 hours cleaning or whatever, right? And want to keep hosting. This is part of being a light, and what makes us different is that when we go places, we don't get served. We're like Jesus, but we come to serve. We come to give. And I think that a goal for us should be that campus can't just be known as takers, right? People that, oh, they can eat. We could be known as people who they say, oh, they can eat, but also people who they say, oh man, but they could sure clean up after themselves too, right? And that would be an awesome goal for us to have as a ministry and as disciples. And, you know, one of the things I've had to grow into, especially coming out of the world, is just considering others. And being a guest, sometimes I'm like, oh man, I'm going to stack up my plate. I'm going to be the first person in line. And that's still how I feel and what I want. But part of being a hospitable host or guest is going, you know what? Let me take a reasonable amount, but let me make sure everybody else gets one of these too. Let me let some other people go ahead of me, you know, and whatever it is. But I'm just trying to share some practicals of like, okay, let's be hospitable in hosting people in places. But also when we're at things as a guest, let's be a hospitable guest as well. And that applies to going over someone's home for a meal, for a party, for an event, or even just coming to midweek, coming in person, right? Coming to Devo on a Friday night, coming to church Sunday, that you don't just come to be served, but you come to serve. Does anybody need help setting things up, handing out communion, putting things away? Let me help. Let me be a hospitable guest. And so I'm going to have Nina take some time here for her to share a little bit more about creating hospitable places. Give it up for Nina.
What's up, y'all? Well, awesome job, Rob. I feel like you just took a lot of the points I was gonna share, but amen. But that, like, everything that he shared is like a core for being hospitable, right? But my question for you guys tonight is, who likes being served? Everyone likes being served, right? Everybody likes to go over someone's place, being fed by Rob's burgers. So what I'm coming at is, like, everyone feels like they love being taken care of and being catered to. But my question is, imagine just doing that for others, how you make others feel when you give that same catering, same hospitable manner. And even just from what Rob shared in the scripture, it says on verse 17 that the brothers and sisters received us warmly, you know, the heart of being warm and kind. But you know, the question for tonight is, how can we be hospitable for others? But from that, we have to look at the heart, right? And I want to share to you my experience with just the journey of being hospitable. Is like, one thing for sure is we're influenced a lot by our culture and upbringing. And like, for my culture specifically, Filipinos, we grew up being taught how to be considerate towards others and offering help all the time, and which are great things, but it eventually becomes like the reason for even doing that because we care about what people think about us. You know, we care about our image, and eventually become a competition with my family among my cousins of like, oh yeah, she's super kind. Like my daughter, like she always helps out. And then it becomes a competition between me and my cousins because the parents are comparing us, which eventually led like something so amazing and pure and holy to be something like a burden or like, I have to do this. So what I'm coming at, guys, is that that your heart matters when you give, when you're being kind, when you're giving for others. You don't want to give in a heart where you have to. And being disciples, because we're being called to be hospitable, you're like, oh, I don't like, oh, I have to do this. You know, because like I'm called to do that. No, you want to do this because you love people, you love God. And the scripture that I want to share to you guys is in Colossians 3, verse 23 in the NLT version. It says, work willingly at whatever you do, as though you're working for the Lord rather than for the people. So when you make it about God and you know, make it about people, even more so you want to give, even more so why you want to give your 100%. Because God has given you so much more than what others have, like, and it kind of expressed like the level, it kind of leveled up because people ended up feeling loved, and now they feel that warmth and hot, like warmth and giving from your actions, because your heart is not even, it is for them, but mainly for God. So eventually it doesn't become a burden at that point to be giving, but it's now like, I want to give. So I wanna like remind you guys, being hospitable is about your heart as well, rather than your performance. Because being remember, like, God wants our heart. God doesn't want us just to do things just because, right? And then there's another area of people seeing hospitable as sometimes maybe they just what they didn't grow up around it. They didn't know what it means. So they have a selfish mentality along, like, okay, I want to receive. Like, I don't want to give to you. What can you give me? But this feels nice. But as disciples, we're called to imitate like Jesus. And my mom always reminds me this. And she says, Nina, whenever, wherever you are, have a mentality to serve and give. I know, I'm sorry, my accent came up. I'm trying to be like my mother. But she said she would remind me that Jesus came to the world to serve others and not to be served. So should you, Nina. Like, so should we. And in Mark 10, verse 44 to 45, in the NLT version, it says, "And whoever wants to be first among you, you must be the slave of everyone else. For even though the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many." And in here, Jesus, his character is like, he came to earth to serve and not to be served. And to be, to imitate, like, to become like Jesus, we have to hold on to this teaching. So I think that really helped me a lot to even think wherever I go, you know, wherever I have people over, like, especially what Rob shared concerning going to someone else's house, always have your mentality, okay, what can I do to serve? They're serving me, but what else can I do for them? So transactional, but not so transactional. So with that, I just want to assure you guys, being hospitable goes a long way. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, it talks about how we're ambassadors of Christ. And being an ambassador represents something, and we represent God. And you guys have no idea that when you give for others and you are so welcoming, so loving, it's attractive. People get very intrigued. And you guys don't even realize that they get to see and experience God's love for you being giving and loving to them. So I just want to leave you guys with some practicals, which pretty much what Rob had shared, but I'll share a little bit more. So the number one will be come in to serve. Have that mentality everywhere you go. Like, even though it's a campus event, or you're a guest at someone's house, or being hosted, even at your relative's house, go in there and one, like, ask yourself, okay, they're giving to me, what can I do to help out? And dishes. For people who does not like dishes at home, make sure when you go to someone else's house, if Rob makes you burgers, it's like, okay, Rob, you already worked all day cooking these awesome burgers, and Chelsea helping out with cleaning. All right, let me help out with cleaning up, you know? So it's not just becomes like a one person giving, becomes a community. It becomes a family. We helping one another out, which is, it's awesome to have that, right? And then the second thing will be ready to help. So in Romans 12, verse 13, NLT version, everything's NLT. It says here, when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always practice hospitality. So like yesterday, there was a sister who came from Florida, never met her. Her flight got delayed, and I was in the middle. So it comes tomorrow, like, which is today. This was yesterday. So her flight got delayed to this morning. And then so Caleb texted me. I'm like, hey, is there anybody can host the sister? And I dedicate that time in the morning to study. I'm like, oh man. And then another sister was like, I can't have her over. My heart, I was like, I gotta study, man. That means I have to clean my house. I'm like, that means I gotta clean my dusty room. But having to hold on, I'm like, all right, God, but this is a sister need. This is God's people. God, this is your family. That means this is my sister in Christ. So the time I dedicated to study, I'm like, all right, I'm going to help my mom clean. I want this place to be for her to feel love, welcome, not dying in allergies. I'm like, okay, God, let me help out. Let me clean up. So I took that time to help her out, and just like that motivation, because this is God's family. This is my family. I'm like, okay, let me give her as much love as I can. Let me use this time to just really clean up. So I want her to feel love. I mean, she was in JFK in the middle of it was a snowing. We don't want her in that crusty streets until the next day. So let her have this welcome, clean home that she can relax and be in. So I have that readiness to help anyone out, just like able to move your plans aside just to help out your sister and brother in Christ in need. And my last point, which is very important, is remember your who. So we're humans. Our feelings are inconsistent. So there'll be days when you don't want to serve. There'll be days where you're like, I'm too tired for this. Like, obviously you have to find boundaries, but when you do, you have to realize, like, is it because I'm super tired or is it because I just don't want to give? But having to remember your who, which is God, you kind of go back on like, God, you know, I love you. You know, I want to love you. And calling to love you, it means to also love my neighbors, also love my friends. So remembering who God is, it comes naturally to love and be, and kind of redirect your heart to give. So, and that is all I have for you guys today. But thank you so much for this journey. And I just want to share, you guys, that it is awesome. It's giving. It's satisfying to give to others. And not only are you going to be giving to others, and you also get fully refreshed by God. So thank you, guys.
Amen. You're awesome, Nina. Thank you so much for not just speaking it, but for living it. Definitely feel that from you. And so I hope so far you're all feeling inspired to say, hey, I want to be somebody who helps create hospitable places, right? Whether that's your home or other homes or services, events, whatever it is that you go to, even your classroom, whatever. They're like, hey, I want to try to help, you know, create hospitable places. Maybe not your classroom as much, but y'all know what I mean. And so secondly, we're going to talk about being hospitable people, a hospitable person. And this is important too, because you can create a hospitable environment, but then totally ruin it by being cranky, you know? And this is why it says, like earlier in what I read in 1 Peter 4, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. And we've probably all experienced being served by somebody who made it clear to you that they were not having the best heart about it, you know, and complaining about it or whatever. I've probably done this before. Some of you have maybe done this before. I don't know. But when we're being hospitable, a lot of that is like, okay, me, it's me. It's not just what I'm doing, right? Like setting up the chairs, handing out the thing, cleaning the dishes. Like those are hospitable acts, but it's more about you being a hospitable person. That's who you are and how you treat people. And I love what Nina shared about this. And I think that it speaks a lot to the heart behind being a hospitable person, which just comes back to even remembering, like, people, as much as people are imperfect or might drive us crazy or whatever, that at the end, like, people are valuable, right? And we're all equally valuable. And that people, because they're valuable, should feel valued, should feel loved, should feel welcomed. And us being hospitable people helps people to see that, to believe that, to feel that. And that can help people to feel loved by God by feeling God's love through us. And so I think a big part of being a hospitable person is being relationally and conversationally hospitable. Right? The way that you are in your relationships with people, the way that you are in conversations with people, would you say you are a hospitable person? When you talk to people, when you are interacting with people, are you warm? Are you welcoming? Are you generous? Are you giving? Are you focused on them and not just on yourself? Right? Being a hospitable person, I think in a lot of ways comes out in how we do talking to people. At things that we're at and in homes and different places like that, that we want to be warm. We want to be giving. We want to greet people. We want to smile. These are easy ways to start to help people to feel welcomed and family and belong. And then when we're in conversations with people, not just making the conversation about us or being selfish or ungiving, but really trying to be giving to people in conversations and ask them questions and be interested in them and try to be like Jesus in that way. And, you know, Rachel's going to share in a second here, but I'm sure she'll talk about this too. But a big part of being a hospitable person is noticing who's new here, who aren't many people close to or talking to, and going after those people to try to help make sure, hey, because I'm here, other people are going to feel personally connected. And there's a time and place for this, but I do want to say too that a big part of what has made me feel like really close and warm with other people in my life before has been praying together. And I do like in Acts 21 here, when Paul was leaving the one city, they all went down on the beach together where the boat was docked, and they prayed together as they sent them off. And I think sometimes, you know, when we're spending time with each other too, just to say, hey, like, why don't we pray together? You know, or can we get on a phone call and pray together? That's such a great way to reach out to somebody and create some warmth and some hospitality. But y'all know Rachel is amazing at this, that she has such a heart of hospitality in her conversations, relationships, friendships with people that she just met and people that she's known for years. I've always felt incredibly welcomed and loved by Rachel. And so I'm excited for her to share a little bit in this point about being a hospitable person.
Oh, thanks, Rob. I appreciate it.
Rachel.
thanks, babe. Okay, so when I think of just like being with people and being around others, especially if I know or don't know them, the scripture Matthew 22 verse 37 comes to mind. It's Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." And all the law and the prophets hang on to these two commandments. And so I think about this, like, okay, like that second part, like loving my neighbor as myself. My neighbor is anyone I encounter, anyone that's around me. And thinking about how can I love others the way God calls me to love, and even the way God loves me too, and calls me to love someone else as he loves me. So even that makes me think of like ways love is what stands out to people. And I know that's what stood out to me. And I was just building relationships in the kingdom, and the way people speak truth and love, the way I feel like I was embraced or accepted for all my quirks and who I am and my good, bad, and ugly. And John 13, 34, it says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." And like, I remember seeing that, like when I wasn't a disciple and I'd like show up, I'm like, oh, wow. We're just like seeing the way people had deep relationships with each other. It's like, was evident to me. And even just the way people will pull me in or be like, oh, like little sis, or like, I definitely felt that, like, oh, okay, like I can see that there's others, the way they love each other and the relationships that I saw, like I wanted that. And that just is like had my heart wanting that kind of a relationship. And I wanted to love people like that too, but I wanted that kind of love. And I think that's powerful that Jesus has this standard for us, as for disciples, that we must love, that it should be evident to other people. He says, if you're really my disciples, they'll know by the way you love. And, I think about like Jesus is the best at being relational. Like he's so relational. Anytime we see him in the scriptures, he's always around crowds, always around people in conversation. And he constantly surrounded himself with others, and he left the person changed, or left them with a turning point. And there was some impact he left in these conversations. And the calling Jesus has for me is to love others the way Jesus loved people. And sometimes that means like really getting in there and sharing my life, being the one to set the tone of getting vulnerable or sharing a little bit about me, and to then ask them about this person too. And I'm not saying like I need to be the loudest person in the room, like, or not saying y'all need to be the loudest person in the room, but I just love that even when we look at interactions Jesus had, I think of like in John 4, like his interaction with the Samaritan woman, just like how he's so intentional and the way he asks questions. And so I'm definitely an ambivert, where there's moments I love like the spotlight, but there's also moments I'm like, I don't want to talk to no one, like, especially after a long week and I'm talking to a lot of people throughout the week. Like I definitely feel a little drained, and I'm like, okay, let me take it easy. But those are the moments that I still, I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna discount myself to still love or have these opportunities to show up to like Friday Devo events, with like not talking to someone. And so just Jesus being that standard for me, I'm like, okay, how can I be present? I want to be present with where I'm at. And I want to be intentional with the people around me and who's around me right now that I can have a conversation with. And Jesus leaves an impression of being loved. And so I want to make sure, like, I want to leave an impression that I'm loving someone and someone feels loved and like the way Jesus loves though. And I know like it can be sometimes overwhelming for myself in a big group or at Devo or church. It's like a lot of faces, even if there's retreat coming up, a lot of faces that we're going to see. But like, I just, in those moments, I'm like, okay, God, I want to love you with all my heart, all my soul and strength, and I want to love others too. And I'm going to trust you with the people you're putting in my path, with the people that you're surrounding me with. Yes, physically next to me, but also the people I know, like, okay, are my mind that I connected with last week, or someone I know that just came out that's new to all this, and let me check in on them. Like thinking through like ways that I can still pull in others, especially because if I was in that position and I'm new coming in, I'd feel like nervous or like scared, intimidated, like all these people. And it's scary to spark up like relationship with strangers. And so I feel like even just emphasizing like, okay, thinking through what's one person that I'm going to like encourage. And then what's one person I'm going to like really be intentional to like sit down and talk to and get to know more. And like, and that can be encouraging too, but it's also like, I guess in this, for this person, I'm always thinking about how I can be more outward focused with sharing the gospel and sharing more of my life and the way God has changed my life, to see if that's something they want to do, or if they want to study the Bible. And so I feel like, especially like with the retreat coming up, I think God is, I feel like he puts opportunities in our life to have great conversations and just meeting people. But also sometimes like, I feel like I had to learn how to like turn these just great fun conversations into spiritual conversations. Like, I think that's something that Jesus left an impact like with people that he interacted with. And so especially if like in church, like people are coming in, it's like, how am I gonna leave, like, make the most of this conversation? And like Jesus looked at the lost with compassion, you know, he looked at them with sheep without a shepherd, and he looks at the lost and doesn't judge them. You know, he didn't judge me coming into it, and he doesn't judge me, but he also wants to offer us truth and a way out and healing. And and so when I think of these interactions, I'm just like, okay, how can I make the most of this opportunity that I know was given to me when I wanted to, you know, reach out or have this relationship with God, but I didn't know how. And I was like, I don't even know who to ask. I don't even know how to talk about it. And it's funny, I really felt like God put other people that were being hospitable in my life to then reach out to me and spark up these conversations I really needed, because I desperately wanted them. I just didn't know how to talk about it or bring it up, that I wanted to know more about God. And so even just with this retreat, or even in general opportunities that we have with each other, like ways that we can make conversations spiritual is just like asking about people, how they're doing spiritually. Like, how are you doing? And even if it's someone new you're meeting, it's like, oh, did you grow up going to church? What's your faith background? Oh, and you hear what they say and you can ask some more questions from that, like follow-up questions, and then share like your journey and what it was it like for you to start coming out, or even to start reading scriptures and to really study out what the scriptures say and what that was like, and those challenges and the ways you were able to come to where you are now. And those are ways to deepen conversations with people, to leave something that's lasting. And I love that Jesus did this, like he brought people to this turning point too. And I think of Luke 12:12 in the voice version, Chelsea put me onto The Voice, but it says God will give you the words to say at the moment when you need them. And so this is not something just for the leaders. It's not something for the interns. This is for all of us. Like if you're a disciple, like, okay, like how can I love others and be part of like God's great commission too, of just loving new people coming out and loving one another as well, and having great interactions and being a light. And so love is definitely patient. God is patient. God knows, like, God was patient with me, and so God will be patient with those people too that you're talking with, and he'll give you the words to say, even if it's just you sharing your life and testimony. God's gonna work through that. And so I think of also Colossians 4:6, let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, that you may not, so you may know how to answer everyone. And like meeting people where they're at, remembering that what it was like for you when you came out to events and how you would feel, and just having those spiritual conversations is something that is what like is like helps preserve, like salt preserves food and it adds flavor. Like it's going to add depth to those conversations and add depth in people's lives. And later on at night, they're going to think about it. They're going to think about that conversation they had, or they're going to think about it the next day, or it's going to come up. It's going to be like, ooh, like it's really going to make them think about their walks with God and just ways we can just be loving and impactful the way Jesus was. Well, thanks for letting me share.
Amen. Thank you, Rachel. And like Nina, thank you for setting a great example in this and so many great practicals. And you're right, the retreat is a great opportunity. But every week is filled with opportunities to be hospitable people. And I love how you helped us too to understand that a big part of being hospitable is not about the crowds, but about connecting and connecting with a person or a few people. And if we all do that, then everybody that's there feels connected with, right? And the value, the love that God has for them. And so those are the two main points for tonight. I want to encourage all of you to think about how can you grow in creating hospitable places? How can you grow in being a hospitable person? Because we don't want to just do this stuff on the outside. We want to have the heart of it and do it from the inside. And there's a lot of things that could keep us from being hospitable. And that might be good to think about too. What are the one or two main things that keep you from being hospitable? And how can you repent or grow or change in that area? And, you know, it might be things like just being uncomfortable or being insecure that you got to push through with some things. It might be, I'm just tired. I'm worn out. Maybe you're feeling some type of way or whatever. And those situations, which happen to all of us, It's a time to pray, to rely on the Spirit, and decide to deny ourselves and be like Jesus, as we then, you know, still get help with those things and stuff. But just going to put this out there that probably the number one thing that keeps us from being hospitable in any of these ways talked about tonight is selfishness. And I know for me, that's what it came down to, was I wasn't thinking about others. I was looking for just enjoying my own time and not thinking about, are other people enjoying this conversation? Are other people feeling connected with? Can I serve in some way? I remember when I wasn't a Christian and just lived in my parents' house, I was the most hospitable person. People would come over and I'd open up the pantry and the fridge and be like, have anything you'd like, you know, make yourself at home. And then I moved out and moved into a brother's house, and I had to buy all my own groceries. And I was like, here's water and crackers, you know, and I did not want to share a lot of my stuff with people. And so we worked into our brother's house budget extra money to have a whole cabinet of hosting food. So when people came over, it was like, hey, everything in there, go for it. And I just had to be okay with, you know, learning like, okay, if people are going to eat this other stuff, then that's fine too. And really it was just drawing out a lot of this selfishness. And so, you know, just to spend some time thinking about, am I a hospitable person? Do I create hospitable places? If not, why not? How can I grow and be more like Jesus in this way? And just to leave you with this passage Nina read again, Romans 12:13, when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. And I know God has a vision for us. And let's all have a vision for us to be a ministry, to be a family where wherever we go, whoever we're with, that who we are is a hospitable people. That when people come into our times together, when people come into our home, into our Sunday service, they feel welcomed. They are brought into home, brought into family, and they do get to experience the light and the love of Jesus. So let's be hospitable and have the heart of hospitality. Thank you, guys.